Welcome to y'all as we gather together to worship over these summer months. Numbers might be low, but the Spirit of God has promised to us, and that's the main thing. God's Word says to us about His own Word, the Bible. It says, "Your Word's a lamp that shines before my feet. It is a light that guides me on my way." I don't know where you are today, but you might feel that you are in need of guidance, need of direction, in need of a sense of clarity. God loves to give that to us. He loves to speak and to shine through His Word how we are to live, how we are to think, and how we are to move forward in life. So let's pray that He will shine upon us today as we meet in His name. And then we will do a couple of announcements as well. Okay. Now there is light. Our loving Father, as we gather together today, we are so thankful that we can praise You, that we can worship You, that we can lift our eyes off ourselves and our own issues and problems, and at least begin to see them in an altogether different light. To know God, to walk in what the Bible calls the wisdom of the fear of God, not terror, but awe, an inescapable awareness of God over every moment of every day. And we thank You for that, Father, and we ask, oh gracious God, You, our Maker, our Creator, draw near to us today and fill our hearts with mercy and love, goodness and gentleness, peace, and all the fruit that Your Holy Spirit, that He longs to create within the children of God. Bless us today through Your Word. May it come with power. May it bring light. And may it change us so that when our words come out of our hearts and mouths, that they will bring light as well. We pray that You will cleanse us and forgive us when we speak instead darkness. Lies or deceit or words of anger. And instead, Lord, teach us to sing Your praises this day. We ask that Your blessing would be upon us and all of our church family who can't be here today. Be near to us now. And we ask it all for the glory of Jesus, Your Son. Amen. Okay, a couple of announcements to say. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that we take the bread and the wine. We break it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus' death for us. So if you're someone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus as your own Savior, that you can say that Christ is in me, that He dwells in your heart by faith, then take the bread. If you can't say that, watch and pray and ask for God's Spirit to bless you where you are. We also have new members presentation next Sunday. So please be here if you can to welcome and encourage the new members that we've got who are joining the church. That's next Sunday. And also next Sunday evening, we have some summer prayer, and our sister church, Trinity ARP Church down in Bears Avenue, they've invited us to join with them down there for some prayer, 5 o'clock, and they would also like to sort of do like a supper, encouraging folks to bring a dish. If you would like to know more, if you think you'd like to come to that, let me know, and we can organize that as well. So that's next Sunday evening. I think that's all our notices for the moment. So with that before us, let's worship the Lord, let's praise Him, and let's adore Him. Juan.
Good morning, Hope. We're going to be singing some songs today, and again, it's always this. We want you all to really, really read the words. And you'll see that we're talking about God and His holiness and what a goodness He is. And, you know, there's a lot of things. So there are just a lot of attributes. But I was going to start with this one that says from Romans 8, 28 to 32. And it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those who He foreknew, He also predestined to be comforted to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who He predestined, He also called, and those who He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also with him graciously give us all things? So let's stand up, stand and sing Our God with us.
Water you turned into wine. were the beggars.
Now we're royalty.
We were the prisoners.
Now we're
running free.
We are forgiven,
set,
redeemed by His grace.
In the house of the Lord we pray. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today.
And we won't be quiet.
Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise.
God's word. Over this weeks in the summer, we've been looking at one of the most fascinating books in scripture, of any literature, the book of Proverbs. And when you hit the book of Proverbs chapter 10 onwards, you feel you just get lost in a sea of these little sayings. But there are many themes that course their way through this book. So I would want to look today at one of those themes, the themes to do with our words that we speak. And the power of those words. So let's turn for our reading, though, to chapter 11, and just a few verses from verse 7 to 14. Gives you an example of how scattered the thoughts are, but also how you sometimes see little clusters on the same theme. So we're going to read from verse 7. This is God's word to us. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. The righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Amen. This is God's word. This is wisdom, isn't it? You just hear those phrases. It just gives us so many insights in how we can live our lives. Let's just take a moment to come before God and let's pray. Our loving Father, as we come before you now, we praise you for your willingness to meet with us in this place today. Can't see you. Doesn't mean you're not here. You are spirit, eternal, immortal, unchangeable. We're flesh and blood. We're so focused on what we can see, feel, and touch. But today we ask for the supernatural, beyond the natural, for the very presence of God to be so evident, for your voice to be so clear, for the gentle healing power of Christ to be working in each of our hearts, that we would know that we've just come to a moment where the separation between time and eternity grows very thin. The veil will be faint. And all these incredible spiritual realities would press in upon us today. For we need some help. We need help beyond ourselves, beyond even this world. And that's why we come in the name of Jesus. Hear us in his name, we pray. Bless all whom we know and love who are struggling with health issues, mind, body, soul. Lord, we know that all three get so intermingled. We pray for healing. Pray for those who are just struggling or in hospital. Think of Caroline, who may even be watching the service right now. Bless her, strengthen her, be near to her and others too. Those of our church family who are on vacation, maybe still watching with us online, bless them, encourage them, refresh them, we pray. We thank you for this time of the year when we can have family or friends come and join with us, or we go and see them, for renewing of relationships and friendships, and bonds of love. We thank you for all of that. Be near to those, though, who feel more an acute loneliness and isolation. For we live in this massive city, Lord, and yet so many people are drowning in a sea of loneliness. And Lord, we pray that this church and every church across this great city would be like a raft where those who are lonely and broken could find refuge and hope. Use us, Lord, to that end and to that purpose. Take us, use us as we are, despite our weakness and fragility, despite the fact that we don't live up to all that Jesus calls us to be, yet we are yours. And Lord, we pray that you will draw near. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd enable us to reach out with the most amazing news, the good news, the greatest news, really the only good news for this world. That there is hope, there's salvation, there's forgiveness, there's a doorway into a better world one day. And we praise you for that. So, Lord, draw near to us. Bless us as we come into your presence. May we genuinely know the very touch of your mighty Spirit upon our hearts and lives. Have your way amongst us, Holy One, we pray, that your will be done. Bless this nation. Bless all nations, especially those in turmoil, war, and trouble. Bring peace. Bless the aid agencies. Bless governments and politicians who have to make decisions that have life and death at the end of those decisions. Lord God, it's beyond people. They need divine wisdom. Give it to them, we pray. Have mercy upon this world and all of its brokenness. Do not forget us, even though we are quick to forget you. Turn upon us now, we pray. Revive us as your people. Every believing heart, renew us. When we come to the bread and the wine, may we only take it if we truly trust in Christ and if we're truly living for Christ. For your word tells us to examine our hearts, and if we eat and drink it in an unworthily manner, it will not only not do us any good, it can even bring judgment upon us as believers. And so, Lord, we pray that we would come with confessing hearts, trusting in the goodness of Jesus and your forgiveness and your renewal. Hear us now, we pray. Continue to bless us as we worship you. Take all the offerings that we give to you, whether it's in song and praise and prayer and money, take it all for your glory, and the relief of poverty and trouble in this world, and the extension of the good news of Jesus. Hear us, we pray. We ask it for your glory. Amen. Okay, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings as part of our worship of just saying thank you to God for all the abundance that he gives to us and to share with others who are in need in this earth. And then we'll sing again.
Let me remind you that on 2 Chronicles 6:41, It says, "And now arise, O Lord God, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints rejoice in your goodness." I pray that you would be able to sing this song, "The Goodness of God," and really apply it to your life. Please stand, sing with us. Thankful for this time that you've given to us to come and worship you, Father, to come and to recharge our batteries. We need more of you, Lord, in our lives. So this morning we just come, lay all of it at the altar, Father, to see the price that was paid, Father, for our redemption, for Jesus' blood being spilled. So this morning we just come, Father, to know you, to proclaim how good you are, What a mighty God that you are. And Father, we just thank you. Father, we pray for Chris now as he comes and brings your word. Father, just give him the words that we need to hear, Father, and give us a heart and a mind to receive that word, Father, that it would bear good fruit for you, Father, for your glory and your glory only. For we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Head out to Hope-Filled Kids. The Lord would bless you there as you learn more of Jesus. For the rest of us, if you'd like to, can turn to our reading. If you want to stick your finger somewhere in the book of Proverbs, we'll touch on a few different verses. But Proverbs chapter 11, we'll be looking at in part. Now, I want you to think for a moment about what are or have been some of the most significant words that have been spoken into your life. Maybe they were written on a letter, written on a card, I don't know. Maybe it was a call late at night when you were in real need. And those words maybe really changed the way you felt at that moment. You ever had that moment? Maybe you've been on the giving side rather than the receiving side. But there's something so powerful about the words that we can speak to one another. And maybe the day will come, in the final day, when everything is revealed, that we'll see all the words that we spoke and the impact that they had. And maybe we'll be surprised at some phrase that you just shared with somebody, a throwaway sentence or statement, and yet it was really used to bless them, to speak to them, to encourage them. Sometimes it's hard to know what we share, what actually really gets through to people and blesses them. So, as you go through life, there's a real lesson in the book of Proverbs that your words have power. When you're young, you can blether away, chat away, complete nonsense. But as you get older in life, it's not a good idea to keep like that. But as you get older, your words need to get older in a sense, wiser. And that's the whole point of this amazing book, the book of Proverbs. So as we look at it this morning, I want us to think of it teaching us about the power of communication, the power of speech, the power of the words that we share with one another. And to do that, first of all, I want to draw out the contrast by thinking also of the powerlessness of promises that we can make with the words that we share. There's a real power to words, as we've touched on already. Power to bless lives, power to curse lives, ultimately to tear people down and to bring them down. Words can make things happen, can't they? If you hear these words to you, "I am arresting you," those have power, don't they? They're probably going to significantly change your life there and then in that moment, as you have driven like a madman or a madwoman down Dale Mabry. Other words that have more power. "I do." That has power, doesn't it? Covenanting your life and marriage to somebody, and you say to them, "I do," in front of all your family, your friends, your nearest and your dearest. Religious words can have particular power. Our stock and trade here. "Yea, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Believe me, those words have power. But sometimes the power isn't to bless, the power can be to curse. Many of you might know this chap here. those of you of an older generation, Johnny Cash. And back in the 1940s, when he was a young chap growing up with his older brother, there's a real bond between these two brothers. Johnny's the only one that the world really knows about. Johnny was the one who made it big in music and had a huge career for decades. But he had a brother who in many ways was his favored brother by the family. He was older. He was 14. He was going to go in for the ministry, become a preacher. But one day he was working in a sawmill and there was an accident and he fell one way or another on the saw and ultimately didn't survive. It was a tragedy for Johnny, marked him in many ways, tragedy for his family. But what really made it difficult for Johnny was the way his father responded to it. One night after the tragedy, his father held up an empty can and he shook it. And he said to the 12-year-old Johnny after the funeral, he says, "You hear that? That's nothing. That's what you are." His mum, she came to Johnny's defense saying it wasn't his fault. But the dad, who's called Ray, he said, "The devil did this. He took the wrong son." So Johnny, you're empty. Johnny, you should have died. How do you think those words affected Johnny Cash? They brought a curse in many ways. They were terrible. And yet, possibly strangely too, they were the source of much of his music that blessed other people. So ultimately, by God's mercy, in some ways, much of that pain was redeemed. But it does illustrate the power of words. It can be words to curse, or it can be words to bless. But we've also got to acknowledge that words have limitations. Some things that they can't do or don't always do. They have a limit to their power. There are some things that you'll hear people speak words. Those famous words that every parent wants to hear from their children. "I promise I will do the dishes." Seldom follow through. Instead, leading to much frustration by the overworked parents. Words are spoken, but there's a certain limitation there upon them. Nor can mere words necessarily alter facts. The guy that stands there with a knife in his hand and blood and a dead body in front of him saying, "I didn't do it." That can't change the facts. All the way from that to the little kid who does something similar when they've eaten all the chocolate biscuits and mom and dad ask, "Did you eat the cookies?" And they, "I didn't do it." Do those words change that fact? No, they can't change those facts, can they? So, nor can words always compel an appropriate response from people. So one of the Proverbs in chapter 29, verse 19 says, "Servants cannot be corrected by mere words. Though they understand, they will not respond." It's saying like good advice in life can be wasted in some people. It can just be like spilled milk, useless. Any parents who have pled with their children or their adult children whose life is going out of control in some way, we'll know the power of this. When I worked with folks with addictions a lot in Scotland, they would often tell me of these conversations that they had with their family. Their parents would be pleading with them. Lots of words. Words of pleading, words of threats. Excuse me. Words of pleading, words of threats, words of love, words of anger. And they would often respond with words, as well. They would make promises. They would say, I promise, Mom, it'll be the last time I ever take it. I promise, Dad, it's the last time I'll ever do it. And they were powerless to keep those words. They would always break them. They would always do it again, whatever it happened to be, whatever particular flavor of addiction. You can fill in the blank yourself. And when you speak to the guys like that, they would tell you, and I really believe them, when they spoke those promises, they really meant them. You know, you're destroying your family through your actions, and of course you mean what you say. I really don't want to do X, Y, and Z again. But there is a powerlessness in human nature, all human nature. You just see it very clearly and starkly in people battling addictions, but it's there in all of us. A powerlessness to necessarily follow through with our promises, with the words by which we promise things. It's not always necessarily a lie. It can be meant with every fiber of their being. But mere human words sometimes are just not enough to change lives. Mere human words are just not enough to change lives. If that is someone that you know, maybe you see an echo of yourself in it. Maybe you've made lots of promises in life and you've meant them all, but you failed. Does that mean that you're condemned to just going through the rest of your life mouthing empty words of promise, even when your heart wants to change? That's a terrible dilemma to be in that many people find themselves in. But it doesn't have to be the final word in anybody's life. There is a power, a true word of power, that can change any of us. Let's think of that, the word of power. Why do words have power in life? They do have power. It's because they are creative. We use words to write stories, poems, great works of literature that can touch thousands, millions of lives over thousands of years. That's power. When you read a great novel and you realize you're not just reading the book is reading you. That's the power, because words are creative. And this power of creativity, it can be traced back to the very origins of life. You go back to the very first chapter in the Bible, the very first chapter of human history, the history of the cosmos, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. And what did in the beginning God do? God spoke. He spoke, or he sang. And through his words, he literally created the cosmos, everything physical. Everything that you can feel, and touch, and taste, matter. All springing from this infinite mind of God, and yet finding physicality, physical form. That's what God did when he, at the very beginning, sang this earth into creation. So words and creative power. The words that God spoke and brought everything into being. That means that when God speaks, his words have a creative power to this very day. So when God speaks into our weakness, he can speak power and strength. But when God does that today, he speaks his power in a very particular way through a person, through Christ Jesus. And that's why in Genesis 1, you have a very clear parallel in John chapter 1, one of the biographies of the life of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, John tells us. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning. And through Him, this Jesus, this Word, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. So there's the clear parallel. Genesis 1, John chapter 1. Act of creation in Genesis 1. Coming of Jesus, what have you got? Well, you've got an act of recreation. God speaking again, this time into what is already in existence, the earth, humanity, people. They're broken. Humanity has messed things up. We all do that in our own individual stories as well. But in the story of Jesus, it is the author of life, the creator, coming into his creation. It is the writer of the novel entering into the book that they have written. It is the artist embedding themselves in their work of art in order to recreate it. That's what God is doing for us through Jesus Christ. That's why he prepared that body of weakness and flesh and blood, but in order to come and to speak and to our weakness and deliver us so we may speak our empty promises. We might lack the power to follow up what our words say, but Christ doesn't. And when he comes into your life and you begin to follow this Christ as God and Lord and Savior, when it's his word that has the authority, not your word in your life, things begin to change. God wants to recreate. He wants to renew all that's broken in us and in this world around us. So maybe you do sense your weakness. You speak words of empty promise time and again because you don't have that recreative power to back up your words. But that's okay, because you're here today. And you can come in contact right now with someone who can speak those words for you, into you, through you, transforming you, making you into a new creation. That is the power of God speaking into a person's life through Jesus Christ. He says to you, my child, it will be well with you. What you cannot do, I can do. Where you are lost in your weakness, I can deliver you with my strength. That's what Jesus does. And he is the most perfect person to follow, because when he was written into the story of humanity, did he come with amazing power? Well, he did, but did he also not come with hunger and thirst and the capacity for physical pain and tiredness and weariness? Did he not cry tears of grief and sorrow? Christ indwelt our suffering and pain. He walks with us through it. He whispers to you now that in your weakness, his strength can be made perfect. Can't you trust him in the midst of your powerless words? for he is the one who takes all the curses of our lives upon himself when he hung on that cross. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, the Bible says. The cross is a place of cursing. But he's willing to take all of that upon himself, all the curses in our lives through our sin and shame, our broken promises, all of that, including even the curses of others have put on us. He can break all of that power as well. So whatever may weigh the curse of sin is, and this broken world has shown itself, manifested itself in a particular way in your life, Christ can heal you. I ain't making that up. I would be dumb to offer it to you unless it was true. So many people here can testify to that. That's the power of God, the Word of God made flesh, being spoken into our hearts, into our lives today. So whatever the curse is, whatever the empty promises are, you can be healed and transformed today. And then when you are, you'll see that you can discover the power of speaking words of blessing. Then you'll use the words and the power of words to bless other people and not to curse other people through the power of Christ working in you and being connected to him. Then you can speak words that should bless people. And the book of Proverbs has much to say about our words. And as we conclude this, I'm just going to touch on a few pieces of advice that it shares with us today. So, for example, in chapter 16, in verse 13, it tells us there, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Okay, kings, these days it's your boss, it's politics, it's people with influence over your life, but you get the picture. They value honesty. So let your words be honest. That's simple advice. How much would it change your life and some people's lives if they only spoke the truth? Before you speak, they talk about three simple little rules to think about. Before you ever speak, ask yourself the question, what I'm about to say, well, number one, is it true? Second, is it kind? And thirdly, is it necessary? It's good to stop and pause sometimes to think before you speak, isn't it? Some of us might lack a filter. It's out before you know it. But let your words be honest. One of the other things that the Proverbs says is, let your words be few. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues, chapter 10, verse 19. So it's saying, don't waffle on and on and on. Think carefully before you speak. Pick your words with care. Be to the point. That can help. Then there can be an appropriateness about your words that can be very pleasing. Chapter 15, verse 23 says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Some of you will know what a timely word is. When you're in the midst of your crisis, you need to speak to someone. You phone, they answer, and they talk you down. They calm you down. And after that conversation, you feel differently. I've lost the number of times I'll talk to people like that in ministry, and then particularly when I pray with them at the end, they're in a different place emotionally. They have a different perspective. An apt word is so appropriate. It's joyful to speak words like that in life. So when you do, it's so apt that it's almost a work of beauty. There's almost an aesthetic or pleasing quality to it. And that's why some of the pictures used in Proverbs are like this. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. It's saying there's something attractive and beautiful about giving good advice, the right words to the right person at the right time to get the right result. A divine appointment, if you like. So let your words be few, but apt, appropriate, of blessing. Let your words also be calm. There are moments in your life when you're wondering what to say into a difficult situation. The situation demands that something is to be said, not silence. Maybe emotions are heated. You don't know which way will it go. Will it all blow up if you say the wrong thing, or at least you say the right thing, but you say it in the wrong way? Well, remember this little nugget of wisdom as well as we tie things up. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you've got to be clear on the right thing to say, but also the right manner in which to say it. The manner can mean that the word that needs to be received will be received. Say it the wrong way, and the defenses will be up, and it bounces off, creates anger, whatever it might be. You get the picture. So a gentle answer can turn away wrath. Rather than making things worse, then your words, your intervention, if it's gentle and wise, can hopefully get the result that's required and demanded in the situation. In a similar picture, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. I love that picture of a tree that grows in a rock. That which grows is stronger than that which is dead and inert, like rock. And with time and patience, something that looks so fragile as a little sapling compared to a mighty rock, it's the sapling that can have the final say in life. So that picture there of persuasion and patience, a gentle tongue that can actually achieve the results in the end of the day. It can break a bone, a tiny root that can break open a rock. So let your words be calm. Let your words be few. Let your words be honest. And you can let your words be many other things too, but you'll have to read the book of Proverbs to see just how many nuggets of wisdom it gives to us. So as we draw near to the Lord in a moment at his table, the bread and the wine on the table, what is it? That is actually a form of the Word of God. In the Bible, here is the written Word of God. The Bible, God's word to humanity. The bread and the wine, when Jesus set it apart, was basically saying this is a visible word. It communicates. It's to speak to us. It's also, like his own being, a word when it speaks, recreates. It has a creative power. The bread and the wine by themselves will do you no good. But when you reach out and receive in this moment Christ by faith, then his recreative power will change you. So when you take the bread and the wine and you take that into yourself, use that as a picture of what you're really needing to do with God right now. You need to grasp hold of all that He is in His fullness. And by faith, you cling to Him and says, you have promised. Your promises are never empty. You can always deliver. Maybe there's a specific promise in the Bible. You've been claiming it for years. You've been waiting and waiting for God to answer you. And maybe you'll need strength today just to keep holding on to that promise. Then let this time bless you in that way. But taste and see that there is a real power here. When God speaks a promise to bless us as we obey Him and eat and drink in remembrance of Him, that He will bless us, then He will bless us. That's what He'll do, amen? That's His word. It cannot be otherwise. So let's pray and then eat and drink in remembrance of Christ. Our Lord, our Savior, You are the living word, a word that sustains us, that feeds us. You are the bread of life. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we take a bread that reminds us of Your body and as we drink wine that reminds us of Your poured out blood, the terrible sacrifice of the living Christ on the cross at Calvary, that all of this would help us to appreciate afresh and remember all that You are and all that You have done, all that You can do right now in this moment, and all that You will one day do when You return to this earth. You have made a promise to us, Lord, that if we eat and drink and do all in remembrance of You, then we will be blessed. And so we pray that You will bless every individual now. For those that will not take the bread and wine, but they sit, may they receive an even deeper blessing. May they feel Your approach today, hear Your voice, and may they respond and ask that You would be Lord and Savior, that we would confess our sins before You, and that we would believe and trust in the forgiveness and the new life that You can bring. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let us come to this moment where we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. In this very simple act of a meal, Jesus wanted to reinforce in the hearts and minds of His followers something that they should never ever forget, and that is that His death was for their redemption, their salvation. And that's why we have these words that say to us, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which He was betrayed," broken and empty promises there, "He took bread. Then He gave thanks, and He broke it. And He said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" And then afterwards, after the supper, it tells us in the same manner, He also took the cup. When He had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament, the new covenant, the new promise in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So as we take this bread and wine just now, come down the center aisle. And take the bread and wine to your seat. And pause and reflect in all that He has done for you. Let's pray and then come forward. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are not a bag of broken promises. We are. We thank you that you are strength and power, while we are weakness and fragility. We thank you that you are pure, while we are so impure. We thank you that you are so faithful, while we at our best are just full of good intentions. But Lord Jesus, touch each one of us right now in this moment of stillness in your presence, as you give us these visible signs to remind us that you are actually present here amongst your people, because you have promised that. And your promises are never empty. So bless this bread, bless this wine, that you may strengthen our trust and faith in you. We ask all for your glory. Amen. Please come down the center aisle, receive the bread and the wine, and return to your seats. And so Christ has said to us, "This is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." Eat. Of the new covenant, the promise, the blood of Christ shed for you to wash any and everything away. Drink in remembrance of him. Lord, we thank you for your incredible faithfulness to us. And Lord, We ask that the fact that you make promises that can never be broken would become the foundation of our lives, and that we would find the strength to keep our promises and to speak words that bless. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Let's join together as we sing and as we praise and as we respond to what God has said to us. Respond from your hearts. This is amazing grace. Let's stand and worship our God.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing all that you've done. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing all that you've done.
Lord, we thank you for gathering us in your presence today. We thank you for being able to be together with each other to be able to remember the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and to know your recreative power working in our hearts and in our souls and our lives. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bless us now. For your word says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the people of the Lord said,
Amen. Amen.